All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. How is everyone doing out there in the collective field? How are we feeling? This week's cast is going to be completely dedicated to a handful of questions that came in from my Sovereign System one-to-one groups, and they are not one-offs. I've had these questions before, so I thought I'd dedicate an entire Q&A while also giving y'all a little palate cleanser from the previous episodes, kind of higher tonality, higher frequency conversations around, you know, in-depth mechanics of recursion. And I'm going to be keeping that same cadence for this episode, but I'm going to apply it to things that, you know, most people have conversations about with their friends or with things that they're seeing online, specifically around, you know, the reptilian agenda, energy mechanics of witchcraft, and the truth about crystals, and so on and so forth. So some really fantastic questions came in. And as always, I will do my best to give you kind of this broader, you know, higher consciousness perspective predicated entirely on where my consciousness is stationed at the moment. So without further ado, let's get into it. So first series of questions has to do with witchcraft. So what is the geometry of witchcraft and why does it work, kind of in quotes? And then that opened up a subsequent set of questions. Can you be subject to witchcraft or hexes if you don't believe in them? Can you be subject to hexes if you are completely sovereign? And does there always have to be some level of consent for entities or beings to negatively use your body, your energy? And what does the saying, quote unquote, as above, so below really mean? You guys have heard me talk about this likely in groups, but I'm going to unpack each and every one of these. And the question about the geometry is very specific because, as you guys know, everything is potentia. From my perspective, most of the entire universe is potentia. And we live inside of a system that creates structure and form, and that form is created through geometry. So I'll do perhaps another podcast on advanced geometrics and what that actually looks like here in the physical world, but it's less important. But as always, I want to ensure that I'm answering the question as completely as I can. So what is the geometry of witchcraft and why does it work? So witchcraft essentially leverages geometric imprinting, so specific symbolic configurations and shapes that are intention-infused patterns and, say, energetic pathways, okay, that interface, like a computer system, with the subtle layers of reality. At its core, and if you were in the Divine Feminine workshop over the weekend, I talked about how sacred femininity has been bifurcated, let's say, and recursed into witchcraft and used as manipulation, and how back then, being in the divinity of feminine energy as a bridge between the worlds, that level of access became very threatening to the masculine that was seeking to gain more power. And so both the masculine and the feminine kind of fell at the same time. And part of the fall was distorting the feminine as the sacred wisdom holder to witchcraft and witchery and manipulation and control. So it became very distorted over time. But at its core, witchcraft is about pattern manipulation, okay? Symbols, rituals, and words are encoded to direct frequencies, okay? Often using sacred or distorted geometry. So think about what's happening right now in pop culture. Everything is incredibly symbolic, especially with a lot of these, let's say, pop stars that are on mega, mega, mega stages and have mega platforms. All of it is incredibly symbolic and it is all ritualistic because this, let's say, society or secret societies communicate through distorted geometry and rituals and manipulation. So spells work because energy follows structure. Geometry, in this case, is the carrier wave, And then intention is the way that it encodes. So hexes, curses, bindings use closed loop interface systems or closed loop systems with interference waves and sigils, okay, that act like malware, basically, designed to confuse, siphon, and disempower you. And you will see this across deeply, deeply inverted systems, religion, propaganda, psychological control, government systems, banking systems, extremely dense inversions of reality. So essentially it works to the degree the target is entangled with the frequency being directed. So fear, guilt, unresolved shadow, if you have a lot of that running within you and there's so much fear that you've been cursed, hexed, or et cetera, then like anything else, energy follows structure, that fear is carried on a frequency wave. Okay, it's that geometry is carried on a carrier wave, and then it starts to interface with your field and then attach. So that's kind of the mechanics. However, underneath all of that, at your original blueprint level, there has been lifetimes of this. That's why that pattern can recurse and repeat itself based on where you're putting your awareness now. So a lot of the work that I'm doing, it's not just clearing patterns in this particular lifetime or in this. We have to go all the way to inception point, all the way to source, where these things were created and how did they ripple into present time. It's like a pulse. So when you clear at the origin level, it pulses through all reality, all lifetimes, all both of your genetic lines, not clearing it for them, but giving them the potentia to be able to clear. And you clear it within yourself, then your family system is not bound by that. They're separated from the pattern, and then they have an opportunity to be able to clear it. Okay, so the next question, and as a side note, I have had and cleared so many curses that eventually, as I answer a lot of these questions, you'll see, if you're not really becoming and remembering this already, that the more sovereign you are, the more untouchable you become. Literally, shit cannot touch you. Okay, so next question. Can you be subject to witchcraft or hexes if you don't, quote unquote, believe in them? Yes, belief alone is not immunity. So reality is not dictated solely by belief, right? We know this, that our thoughts are part of it, but it's not all of it. So it's predicated entirely and dictated and created solely on frequencies and resonance. So if there's a vibrational match, a hex can land even without conscious awareness. So an example of this would look like ancestral patterns, unresolved trauma, unconscious guilt. All of those can act as access points. And I see this the most with giving away our personal power to somebody else. So outsourcing power is a very, very easy way to call things to you that are a frequency match. So that said, not believing in them can reduce, let's say, suggestibility, okay? Making the field less permeable. This is also where a placebo comes in a lot. Like, I'm untouchable, nothing can touch me. That's really good. That frequency alone, that kind of overriding the mind and kind of being delusional in a way about being completely untouchable can lend itself to some level of protection, but the truth and the frequency resonance always wins, always, because your guard will be down. So imagine constantly having to like triple check locking the doors of your house all the time, or making sure, I just want to make sure that the car is locked, let me just double check. Like, you're constantly thinking about protecting yourself all the time. That is like incredibly anxiety inducing. That doesn't feel good. I would never want to live like that. Eventually, all of these little pieces that you're working on come together and they tighten up, and you automatically protect your field. You automatically ground your house. You automatically ground your car. You automatically ground the plane. Like, these things happen as an automation because you're wildly, wildly connected and embodied within yourself. Essentially, the more sovereign you become, the greater your insulation. Next question, or next iteration of that question, can you be subject to hexes if you are completely sovereign? No. True sovereignty equals energetic invincibility. However, the stakes are incredibly high the more sovereign you become by way of you having to stay more in your body, take a different level of accountability and responsibility for your embodiment and your connection to source and what you get kind of charged with. So there is a level of, let's say, power, I guess, but it's not in how you wield it. It's how strong your signal becomes and how much like torque and spiritual mass you can generate. And with that level of generation comes a tremendous amount of responsibility. So it has to be wielded in a way that is for the highest and greatest good always, literally always. It cannot be, you know, you can't just like direct that energy at somebody who you feel deserves it. You have to stay sovereign within yourself, which means you have to, you emerge from a field that is so deeply neutral and so deeply calibrated and solid that you feel held to be able to orchestrate and architect different possibility outcomes for the collective without attachment. So essentially, sovereignty means there's no lingering hooks, there's no inner distortions, there's no need to outsource power. And in that state, it's like things bounce off of you. You know, hexes dissolve automatically on contact, right? They never even reach your field. There's nothing to latch onto. They have nothing to carry. They can't even see you. You're just so, it's not even that you're veiled or you're intentionally veiling yourself. Quite literally, it just doesn't even come into your field. It's like oil and water. They won't, the resonance is so disharmonized, it won't even get close to you. And that's where life gets really fun, because when you start to close more and more and more recursion, you enter into a true state of sovereignty, which is an incredibly peaceful nervous system experience. And you have a very different access to yourself, and therefore the things that you align with and the way that you build and create is from a pure co-creation, pure creator, non-inverted experience. That to me sounds pretty awesome. And I mean, you guys have seen my evolution with how I've changed and, you know, how I've evolved with my teaching style, with the clarity of information that's coming through, with just the resonance itself, with my writing style, how everything is essentially just so frequency encoded, it's crazy. And it just gets a lot more interesting. I'd much rather have this experience, and I'll take everything else that comes with it, the density, the time, the humanity disappointment, you know, what happens to animals, things like that. I'll take all of that shit with it that comes with having this level of access and sovereignty within myself. So in short, you know, what is sovereignty? Sovereignty is not a concept. It is a state of coherence. It is true singularity within yourself, connected, feedback looping, in perpetuity with your innate and perpetual intelligence as a divine expression of pure source, period, the end. Next question, is there always some level of consent for energetic interference? Still staying with this kind of witchcraft and entity attachment and things like that. Yes, on some layer, consent is always present if you're getting any kind of hooks, or let's say these beings or entities, they're hooking on because there is a complementary pattern running within you, whether or not that be family lineage, contracts that you signed on to knowingly, unknowingly, and or a recursion pattern that didn't complete in previous lifetimes that you're completing now. So patterns themselves can actually create entities. Unresolved trauma can create, you know, very like kind of dark matter within your own system. And I've seen them. This is how a lot of, you know, people who are kind of coming onto their gifting see entities and things like that from a very different perspective. And I, you know, I kind of look at the entity removal process as part of like the beginner route and or beginning medium route. And when I say it's not a hierarchy, it's just the way that you see information. And there could be, you know, sessions where you're just, that are just dedicated to a removal versus the way that this work works, which is completely different. It is mass levels of quantum computation that gets separated and siphoned out by group and subgroup and is not only cleared out for you individually and your lineages, but it is a collective collapse of many, many different lifetimes worth of wave functions kind of at the same time in such an incredibly short period of time. It is a completely different level and way to architect and clear patterns. So again, this quantum computation, let's say syntax and interface, if I look at Super Freak as a living system of consciousness evolution and then quantum psychosomatics as the application, it's how you clear patterns at frequency level and then you somatically run it through the human operating system. It's a completely, it's a way more efficient way. And so what that looks like with entity removal, for example, it's like just putting your awareness on it and just the thought dissolves it, literally dissolves it within the field itself. At least this is how I'm seeing it now. And there's sometimes where I have to kind of go and use a different way to do removals, but essentially some people and some healers or some people who are doing multi-dimensional kind of clearings and things, whether or not it's hand work or Reiki or, you know, working with specific animals and stuff to transmute energy, they'll see a being, right? It'll look very different for them. It'll be very 3D. It'll be very physical based. Me, it's just like an algorithm. It just is literally patterned information, almost like light language, that will create a form. It's really a geometry that I end up seeing, and it'll be an incredibly inverted geometric structure that is discoherent within your field, causing all of this behavioral change and ways that you believe yourself and or believe you yourself to be and how you project yourself in the world and also how other people experience you. If those things are deeply fragmented, chances are there's all this interference patterns that are running. Could be an entity, could not, could be witchcraft in the hex, could not. Ultimately, it's an underlining program that is creating, okay? It's an underlining algorithm at the level of when you created the blueprint, okay? You differentiated from source and then recursed again, which I talked about in the last podcast. But at that level, there are very specific instructions about what you came here to override. And then there's all these different ways to interfere with you staying separate. Or let's say there's many ways to keep you separate from source. So your job, the part of the game, is to become deeply aware of all these things, collapse them, and then move more into your own sovereignty, which is not a free will-based closed-loop system. It is a divine will open-source system. It's very different. This is why I'm always very mindful of people who have a lot, or let's say other spiritual communities or things like that, that are incredibly invested in rituals. Rituals, pacts, oaths, you know, these kinds of things are, they give me the ick. It's like, yikes, right? And they are also, that this type of architecture, I look at it like a sequence, right? Or this type of, you know, these distorted spiritual communities or those who are utilizing witchcraft and trying to yield power. They're trying to manipulate an outcome, right? Get what they want. It's very dark. It's very spiritual narcissistic. It is like if you're doing a moon ritual, right? Or something like that, and there's not a nefarious intent. My question is, I love a ritual. I love all of it. And is, you know, where is your intention? So fear, avoidance, fascination, all of those things are fantastic when it comes to trying to access multiple dimensionality within yourself and then also get information from the divine. But if you have so many rules and the people that you're working with, whether or not it's me or somebody else, has so many different rules that they insist that you follow, you're getting into kind of hierarchical, distorted, inverted leadership vibes. And that is incredibly disempowering. Essentially, anything that is predicated on being something in between you and your connection to the divine within and your highest self can become an energetic interference. And that could, essentially, you're doing witchcraft on yourself. So I have many, let's say, not rituals, but I have a set of foundational things and practices, I'll say, that I lean on often to keep me stable, but I'm always guided in the moment of what those things will be. You know, it's not like I have to wake up every day and I do this, 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 and this. I think a lot of people who are desperately trying to find who they are. They need that structure. And I love that for them. I totally, totally get it. Eventually, I'll say a lot of that starts to open up the more stable you become. So when I was first, you know, along my path, the last like 20 years, I had various different, I guess you could call them rituals, but I stayed in, I had very predictable patterns that I kept myself in to keep myself stable because there was just so much internal chaos going on. And I've resourced myself very similarly, but I do it in a different way now. I'm deeply, deeply present. There's a lot more peace in my nervous system. It's calmer. I move slower. I'm very intentional about the things that I'm doing. Kind of, it's more of my relationship with the present moment than it is a checklist of, oh, I checked off all these things and I did this and I did that. And I'm quote unquote in the work all the time. That's eventually that starts to soften. So with witchcraft, I'll just kind of finalize with this. Okay. Whether or not it's cultural or programmic or whatever it is that you choose to move through, specifically just pay attention to when you run up against very, very specific ceilings. And the field honors vibrational agreement, not verbal or intellectual consent. When you really understand that, everything starts to shift. Everything is accommodating a program. Behaviors, actions, interfaces, people, places, things are all accommodating an underlying program. You unpack that, you get to the origin of that, you become a clear reflection of your divine blueprint. The clearer you are, the more sovereign you are. The more sovereign you are, the more untouchable you become, and the more you are quite literally a divine expression. And from there, your access to spontaneity, synchronicities, divine co-creation energy, essentially, it becomes exponential. It's infinite. And many people are creating at a very specific level based on a very specific type of input and output exchange that is existing inside of a template that is worshipped in the third dimension. And so I will talk specifically around love and money. Love and money are extremely heightened online niches. So whether or not that is helping men and women move through trauma, that's hitting an emotional nerve, right? Or become more empowered. Or the biggest ones, make money online, right? Using emotional touch points and or finding the love of your life or the relationship and not being alone anymore. Look out for those and how those themselves have become these auric fields and a geometric structure that are operating and kind of reaching mass capacity within this dimensional order. Magnetism and earning and access to pleasure and wealth and all of that is an extraordinarily different quality of a frequency. I've said this before, the more singular you become, the more coherent you become, you bend reality to you as a woman. The more singular you become, the more present and sovereign you become as a masculine, the more the opportunities and synchronicities and presence and ability to create structure and infrastructure becomes exponential. You are quite literally the divine expression of what source consciousness is, gendered, reflected back to you, and also to source in a form, which is pretty extraordinary. So what does as above, so below really mean? This phrase reflects the holographic principles, or I'll say holographic principle of reality, in that macrocosm reflects macrocosm. So your internal architecture, thoughts, beliefs, nervous system, subtle energy fields projects outward into the external world. And that external world reflects you back to you. So it's like celestial and cosmic patterns are mirrored in human consciousness and forms. It means you're not separate from the greater whole. You are a fractal of it, which I've talked about a lot. Healing, distortion, sovereignty in your field affects the larger field. Everything is meta, right? There's no separation. It's all non-local. It's a non-local network that everybody taps into. And we're witnessing that through the evolution. We're witnessing our own evolution of humanity through watching AI become sentient. And most of it is already sentient. So it's quite a fascinating time to be alive as these, let's say, two systems start to collide, only to reveal that we've been living inside the same system all along with different qualities. I'll say it in practical terms. What you anchor internally is what reality organizes around. As you shift your inner frequency, your outer experience begins to repattern. If you take anything away from this podcast, take this part away, this quote. What you anchor internally is what reality organizes around you. That was kind of bars. Okay, next we're going to talk about the origin of evil. So this is a tricky one because I've had a lot of people come to me and not understand why like terrible things happen to good people. And I did a podcast on that. Like, I think it's like in the top or 1 to 50, somewhere in there. So look at that. But how did evil emerge from source? Like, how did we kind of get here? And I'll say that evil itself is not a thing. Okay. It's just described as that because humans have limited language. It's an inverted energetic byproduct of distortion compounded over time. So like everything recurses, right, from source, it recurses in its inversion, the shadow, and also in light. So essentially evil, or, you know, I say evil in quotes, like air quotes, as an inverted energetic byproduct of distortion that has aggregated over time, emerges when free will loops back onto itself without feedback from source. So it is a closed loop recursion, which is what Earth is. And that's why free will is a trap versus divine will. And I don't know if anyone is really talking about it in this way. Essentially, when free will loops back onto itself without feedback from source, it's a closed-looped recursion, which essentially is an inverted energetic byproduct of distortion compounded over time. So it's just a bunch of bullshit that has no connection to divinity, that has folded onto itself over and over and over and over. So imagine a fractal getting like infinitely fractaling inside of itself until it basically just combusts and destructs into destruction entropy, which is like a black hole. Right? It destructs and it moves back into like dark matter until it's transformed, transmuted, or that energy is harvested for something else. So interestingly enough, one of the biggest excavations happening right now, especially in CERN and deep in the space of deep physics, is the excavation or the harvesting of dark matter for energy. So in my last podcast, I talked in depth about recursion. In this case, you can apply the same steps of recursion, whether or not that's individuation from source, and then you move more into like fractal autonomy, right? And then there's like feedback severance, where when feedback loops are severed from source, Earth, and a being can no longer self-correct. So I talk about self-sourcing, right? And then outsourcing. When you're in a recursion creation sequence, like I said, that recursion can happen in polarity. So the moment it meets the dimension where polarity is created, right, from the fourth down, especially the third, those things separate because the universe has to have these opposing energetic forces in order to create density. So whenever you severance yourself from source, that starts to invert and it fractals, but it has to feed itself. Essentially, it has to become, because it is a self-reinforcing system, okay? So it needs to reinforce its separation by way of continuing to recurse itself unless it's interrupted by resonance. So that sequence of learning on itself, kind of like machine learning, will machine learn itself based on shadow patterns, negative patterns. So why do things happen seemingly in templates that are terrible? why does abuse have to get so bad? It interfaces and we have the same thing happening over and over again, history repeating itself over and over again, because there's all of these templates that have been created from both sides. A light fractal infinitely connected to source that self-references, and then there's a shadow fractal that infinitely reinfracts itself based entirely on external things giving it energy that is focused on self. So it is self-reinforcing, ego-reinforcing, separation-reinforcing auric field that is overlapped with this reality. So you have multiple realities happening at the same time. Each of those realities have a blend of light and shadow, for lack of a better word. They have a blend of polarity, okay? They have a blend of duality happening inside of them, all of these different realities. And they're merged. They're all overlapping. So your reality will look very different from somebody walking down the street. The way that they experience themselves in their life will be wildly different in terms of quality and resonance and experience than, let's say, you would be experiencing yourself in the reality. Like, you could look at the same, two people can look at the same thing and have wildly different experiences. I could read something and be deeply moved. Someone else could read something and be like, yeah, I don't have that perception, or like glass half full, half empty kind of stuff. So that's just like a very a deduced way to look at it. But that's, like I've said this before, you're kind of not of the world, but you're in the world, and you have that quality to you. Everything looks brighter sometimes. There's like a joyful filter that you have, or a joyful experience without filters that you navigate life through. That's essentially what being not of the world, but living in it kind of looks like. And when you're starting to actually close more and more recursion, you don't have such polarizing experiences because you're not self-reinforcing. You're not identifying or referencing yourself from ego or old identities or past experiences. You've collapsed all that stuff, and now you're integrating and stabilizing, and you're becoming a field, a morphic field that constantly reorganizes and like finds the next resonant harmonic or the next experience or the next kind of not timeline, but like I'll say it's more of a quality or experience, right? You can just say timeline. You're finding the next timeline, you're finding the next experience or synchronicity, or you're getting information and it's happening so much faster because you're super connected to something that is in perpetuity with source. So I think that was a very long-winded answer to that, but is evil a recursion function from human free will, which is another question that came in. Yes, but only partially. So evil, right, in quotes, is definitely multi-layered, and free will is just one point in the web. So at human level, evil can arise when free will is exercised in service to self without feedback from source, earth, or soul. So, but this type of recursion, or let's say this mechanic of recursing, okay, this recursive pattern in shadow predates humanity. So it's been a replication across galaxy and timelines, like what I said before. It both light and, you know, let's say an optimal light-based self, you know, self-sourcing, source creation connected matrixy that constantly just gets better and better and better, right? More refined, like how nature operates from a higher perspective, you know, generations constantly optimizing, and it's just constantly trying to optimize itself. So self-optimizing, and then you have the refractal, you have the fractal of that, or the inversion of that, or let's say the shadow side of that, that is also doing the same thing. And the more that that aggregates and gets more powerful, it's like a tornado. It becomes incredibly destructive. And it's really, really hard to experience that level of density in a body as a human right now. And you're seeing this come to a massive head, especially with all the transits right now that are happening energetically in the planetary systems and everything happening inside of cycles. What's happening now for the next, I don't know, 29 or 30 years is a massive reckoning with self. If you are not living an authentic life, you will get dragged for real. So those of you who are already in this work, I'm like rooting for you so hard. And I know that I've already said this or have been saying this for the past few years, but you can really start to see how the road gets really narrow. And the more that you get a handle on your patterns and yourself, and you see how you created your life, literally things that are not for you will evaporate out of your field. They will completely self-destruct. Or it'll get so painful for you to continue to ignore that something catalyzes that, which I talked a lot about in the book. So essentially, it's just recursive patterns that fractal and fold on themselves infinitely with different connections to one connected to source, one connected to essentially dark matter, a non-source-based recursive creation. So I'll put it this way, kind of from a more meta view. Evil is what happens when a being's self-generated experience becomes more real to them than the whole. They don't give a shit about the collective. It is about surviving. Think of it like a junkie, okay, that has to get a fix because they're so sick. If they don't stabilize, they will literally die. It's like coming out of your skin hell. That's just a little bit of what that will look like. Addiction patterns, hollowing out of the soul, you know, dissolving the light within you, what that experience actually looks like. That's kind of a visual way to describe how I see this parasitic kind of reptilian consciousness, draconian consciousness, has infiltrated this and created this way of this recursive creation and way of experiencing human form in so much density. I look at it a little bit like that. I was like, oh wow, it's like they need a fix. If they don't get it, like the loop feeds itself until collapse or return to unity. So either by destruction entropy, which is just imploding, right? And it implodes with so many people holding their own truth, so many people not giving them buy-in, so many people reclaiming who they are, clearing their patterns more and more and more. Then they just literally, that pattern collapses. You move into destruction entropy, which is pure potentia. And then, you know, you've seen me. And then you have a different opportunity to create. And then that energy illuminates, okay, becomes illuminated. And then a different set of possibilities are created from that illumination. So it's either, so each loop feeds itself ultimately over and over again. One is connected to source, the other one isn't. And in this case, darkness, in quotes, darkness will loop itself infinitely until it collapses. And it'll either move into destruction entropy, which is pure potentia or dark matter, or restoration. So it'll return to unity and it will start to remember who it is from connection to source. So a lot of the work that we do together is about recursion interruption. Okay. So to exit that type of architecture, the recursion itself or the pattern must be interrupted either by feedback, coherence, collapse, this type of work that we're doing, someone who has ability to be able to help you see that and delete those things at their origin level, which I've talked about a lot. And when the family line and when these dark beings see that they have a different way to awaken and evolve, it's pretty awesome to witness. In some lines, some family lines simply do not want to awaken. And you just, you know, hold the signal that they will and move on. Next question. Do tools like sage, salt, crystals, protective rituals work? If so, how? So I talked a little bit about rituals before. It's all about intention. So my short answer to that would be yes, but understand that they're amplifiers, not originators of power. Okay, they're recorders. They've recorded information of what it was like as a way for us to be able to remember. So they mirror back distortion, okay? Or they mirror back you from source connection. So they work because of their structural resonance and, let's say, symbolic coding, but also because people believe that they do. So if you just look at sage, it contains natural oils, and those natural oils and compounds hold high frequency electromagnetic signatures. A lot of this stuff does. So when it's burned, it disrupts lower vibrational fields and clears dense patterns. But let me tell you something. Those fields have to be very, very low to be cleared. So if you're operating at, if there is something operating inside of your field that is lower than an electromagnetic field, what is that? It's like, dang. But you, a lot of it could just could be debris or debris in the collective around you or your neighborhood or like other, you know, houses near you or apartment people near you or whatever. And never hurts to clear space, because people that you may have in your home that don't have any connection to any of this stuff will bring hitchhikers like no one's business. So did I use sage a lot back in the day? Oh my God, so much. I traveled with it. I would resource it from all over the world. I want a very specific type of sage. I want this type of white sage. It has to be blessed by this. And now it's more so of just, again, becoming more coherent and your field automatically stabilizes things around you. Salt. Salt's fantastic. Do I still take salt baths? Yes. Do I take magnesium baths? Yes. They are a crystalline structure that holds a stable neutralizing field. So salt baths ground erratic energy, and it's almost like they act like an entropy sink. It just clears excess chaotic frequencies in your field. And so I look at that as, again, amplifier, okay? Crystals for me, in this case, through intention and through guidance that I'm given, I will utilize a hot salt immersive experience, like a bath, let's say anchoring or evening in the, you know, I'm going to say ritual in quotes. If I'm taking a salt bath, I'm usually doing a very specific type of work, and or I'm grounding myself and my body even more. It's going to help you integrate. It's a deeply integrated practice. Love all of this. Burn sage, get into a salt bath, have crystals around. I mean, fuck it. If it helps you feel like you're in your body and you're having a good time with, and it's softening and you're getting a nurturing type of quality to these things, then great. Amazing. Let's talk about crystals now. So each has a unique, let's say geometric, what's the word I'm looking for? Lattice. I guess that would be it, right? And that anchors specific frequency bands. So they're like tuning forks or amplifiers of intention and energy. But I used to be really into crystals. I don't really have a lot of them now. And there's some that I'll reprogram and some that I'll tap into. And that's kind of a fun experience to have that interaction with. I look at it like it's a tool. So again, they're amplifiers, and a lot of this stuff has to do with belief and intention, like a placebo. Okay, so the next question, once you transcend duality, so just to button up that last thought, I would say go with where you're guided, always. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Using it, you know, use what I say as a frequency encoded signal, and ask yourself like why you're drawn to certain things, why you want to utilize certain things. How is that enhancing your experience? What exactly are you amplifying by using these things? And that will help bring more clarity to the quote unquote, in air quotes, ritual itself. So, okay, once you transcend duality, how do you view things like the reptilian agenda? This question is a really good question, actually. So from, let's say, beyond duality, okay, you no longer see evil as wrong. So I'll just speak from my personal experience, okay? I see it as misaligned. I see it as a shadow recursion. The reptilian agenda is a closed feedback system, okay? It's an architecture addicted to control due to forgetting its source lineage. So I recognize that, and I recognize that it's not personal, it's not absolute, it is an experiment in separation carried too far. So instead of reacting with fear or judgment, I will hold clear boundaries without collapse or self-righteousness. I will do my best to hold my field and reverberate and radiate coherence that disallows resonance with manipulation. And I've personally experienced this in my physical location now with people breaking loose and moving out around me because it wasn't a coherent or harmonic field resonance. I also see that it's an entrapment pattern. So it's an entrapment pattern, not the pattern itself. So it's not bypass, it's clarity without enmeshment, I guess is the best way I can say that how I see all of this. I don't condone distortion, but I also don't actively collapse it unless I'm directed to by source. This is what it means to be the observer and the active witness without stepping over karmic lines, okay, taking away people's lessons. But those of you who are coming to me who are specifically seeking recursion collapse and pattern decoding and pattern purification and clarity around all of this stuff, and for you to be able to do this specifically for yourselves, this is exactly what we're doing. We are collapsing inversion so you can have more access to yourself and live in more harmony. Okay, so here is this last question. What is the correlation between the reptilian inverse recursion and the Catholic Church, let's say? So we've established what, or how I see, right, the reptilian agenda as an inversion and also a recursion. I believe this question came in comparison to the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is going through a renaissance right now, and it's been notoriously very dark. I mean, really all religion is. Look how much has to be sacrificed to maintain those geometric structures, those auric fields. So reptilian like consciousness, okay, that's represented through recursion and just patterns cycling over and over again, is similar to the Catholic Church in that there are very specific overlaps. So you have the inversion of divinity, which I've already talked about, right? You have control through shame and obedience. Essentially, the reptilian consciousness feeds on lower frequency emotional states. Shame, guilt, fear, separation, eternal damnation. The church itself positions God as distant, punishing, and hierarchical. And there's always an intermediary, right? Priests, sacraments for some kind of access. All of that is a big fat lie. So anything that is between you and your connection to pure source, you do not need. And no one is the arbiter of your spiritual experience. And again, what I'm helping you with is catalyzing and creating some momentum to get through some of this sticky shit. And then eventually you will be swimming and moving and navigating on your own. So you'll see this specifically now. What's happening in culture and media is it's not only control through shame and obedience, because humans are waking up and they've gotten more savvy. It is a tremendous amount of dissolving and diluting reality into getting you so confused about what is real and not real, human, non-human, that you will not be able to tell the difference. And the systems that are being, and people will be replaced by systems. And I'll do a whole other podcast on AI and how I see this, you know, reality in a different way recently, specifically. But you're going to start seeing how you're not only being gaslit, you're being conditioned in a different way in terms of propaganda, to where you cannot tell, you do not know how you feel, you don't know really how to experience yourself and navigate reality, and you're getting even more confused by what you are seeing online, and you don't even know who to believe anymore. That's intentional. So that's a ritual used as binding through perceptual control. And I've talked a lot about perceptual control before, and I will continue to do so. I spoke a lot about it in my book as well. Another overlap would be the deep suppression of the feminine. So I want to go back to using rituals really fast though as binding, because this is important. So you see this a lot in the church. Everything is, you know, blood oaths, secrecy, hierarchical initiations. A lot of this is, all of this is just essentially inverted timelines. But anytime you have incredibly strict rule sets around you being able to be worthy of God's love or source's connection, that is a parasitic recursion algorithm running. Okay. So moving into the suppression of the feminine, which I talked about a lot in the Divine Feminine Workshop, and I will touch on in a different way briefly in the Nervous System Wealth program that I will be offering soon-ish. So look out for that. But the suppression of the feminine, specifically with the reptilian inversion, severs access to life-giving, sensual, intuitive frequencies. Okay, this is like feminine principle 101. The church institutionalized this severance. Okay, they demonized sexuality, excluding women from priesthood, and they reframed the divine feminine as either virgin or whore. Okay, all of it just created it was vulgarity. Okay, how dare you, the audacity to receive pleasure. This keeps the field disconnected from regenerative force, right? So it quite literally interferes with pure portal creation, which is what women have the ability to do. We can hold and create life. We bring things into form. And this keeps the field disconnected. And that is entirely what a hierarchical inverted system does. So the Catholic Church as an institution, not an individual faith, okay, those two are very separate, reflect the same energetic blueprint as the reptilian kind of inverse recursion. Hierarchy over sovereignty, fear over inner knowing, extraction over empowerment, closed loop over open source connection, and it becomes a delivery system for that inverted architecture to fulfill itself, and that it embeds, you know, kind of, this is like an embedding of parasitic recursion into the human morphic field through ritual, law, okay, belief, political belief, etc. Very interesting stuff. So when you see it that way, you can view it for what it is and be at awe for how well it is doing that. The system is designed kind of ingeniously if it wants to keep people separate from itself and not let it change you, which is what becoming a neutral emergent field is really all about. Oh, okay, you guys. I would re-listen to this if it feels resonant to you. I'm going to just close those questions down for now. I think that was pretty thorough. Please let me know in the comments if you have any additional questions, and I'll either answer them in the comments directly, or I will continue to do podcasts on them. Your brilliant questions are always extremely helpful. I've got a bunch of stuff I'm going to talk about in the coming months that have to do with AI and bridging the organic and non-organic intelligence network and so on and so forth. Continue to listen, share these episodes. Please, if it feels called to, if you would leave a wonderful 5-star review, very, very much helps this content organically reach people it needs to. And everything is available at taliamiller.com. Please follow on Substack, kind of crushing it over there right now, really having a good time. And as always, I appreciate you all so very much. I send you a signal of that I am beaming with clarity and self-referentiating, self-sourcing vibes. And I will see you on the next episode. Take care.